So first I'll read from 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances, 'Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Then turning over to Psalm 34, reading the whole psalm. This is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This is God's holy word. Psalm 34 is a psalm that I and I know others have spent a certain amount of time in recently. It's a psalm that is filled with great encouragement, which is why I wanted to share it with all of you this morning. So we read from 1 Samuel 21, as you see in the title of the psalm. This psalm is a psalm of David connected with this particular moment in David's life, one of the darkest moments in David's life. Previously, before 1 Samuel 21, that particular episode, we see that King Saul has turned on David. Though David was once one of his greatest generals, the king has now turned against him and is seeking to kill him. The father of his dearest friend is seeking to destroy David's life. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 20, we see that Jonathan warns David that his father is trying to destroy him. And David has to flee alone from his land and from his people and from his king and closest friends. And he travels to Gath, which of course was one of the enemies of Israel's, those whom he has previously fought against. And as some of the servants recognized him, understandably, they weren't happy to see him, and they wanted him to die. And as we read, David was greatly afraid for his life in this moment, and he has to act like a madman, like an insane person, drooling uncontrollably and able to save his own life in Gath. And it is out of those events, that period of David's life, that this psalm is connected with. This psalm is composed of six sections, which I hope to work through this morning. But it's interesting to see, as we come to this first section of the psalm in verses 1 through 3, the beginning of this psalm is an introduction of praise. It's an introduction of thanksgiving. We use these three verses as our call to worship this morning. Flowing out of these circumstances that David is in as he meditates upon God's deliverance for him, he opens this psalm with verses of praise and thanksgiving, boasting in the Lord. Listen to what he says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David here introduces this reflection and meditation upon his life, this particular moment in his life, with thanksgiving and praise for God's deliverance and salvation. And this is particularly important when we think about the fact that David is boasting in the Lord's deliverance. He didn't give the credit to Jonathan, his friend who saved him. He didn't give credit to his acting skills before the king, that he was able to convince them that he was mad. He gives his boasting and his praise to the Lord for all the actions that David did. The result was a result that was blessed by God, and it was his working that delivered him from all those trials. And in verse 3, we see that as David is praising the Lord here, he then invites his audience to join with him in magnifying and praising the Lord. And I want to point that out because we'll come back to it again. This psalm is an invitation to participate in what David has experienced. David has experienced that the Lord is near to his people, that the Lord is good to his people. And as David praises and meditates upon this, he invites his audience to participate that and to experience it for themselves. And we'll also see in this psalm that this is a psalm of encouragement, that what David experienced is not unique to him, but it is for the entire people of God. That we also can have a hope and confidence that as David experienced the nearness and the goodness of God, we also can experience that also as well. So from this first section of an introduction of praise in verses 1 through 3, we come to the second part of the psalm, which is verses 4 through 7. And in these verses, we see David's testimony. He begins by praising the Lord, praising God for his deliverance, and then he begins to detail a little more about what God did for him. Verses 4 through 7, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. There are a number of things here we could talk about, but I want to focus on a couple in particular. First, in verse 6, listen to how David describes himself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And there's a sense when we read testimonies in Scripture from the apostles or David or other great figures, we don't often think of them as poor men. We think of them as great examples of the faith. But the reality is that though God has particularly called and blessed certain men as, you know, pillars in the testimony of Scripture, the reality is that they were also sinners. And they had struggles and difficulties and trials, just like we do. And David describes himself here as a poor man, as a lowly person. And then he testifies that the Lord heard him. His testimony is not as much about him, but his testimony is about the fact that though he doesn't deserve it, though he is poor, though he is lowly, his God heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Our God saves poor, weak, and lowly men and women. And this is an encouragement to us that no matter what our circumstances, no matter how we view ourselves, God hears the poor man. He hears those who are lowly. He hears us in our distress and our weakness, and He saves us out of all of our troubles. What happened for David is true for us also, that though we are poor, God hears us too. And he elaborates on this in verse 7 with this amazing picture that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. There's this idea being communicated here that not just does God hear the poor man, not just does God hear his people when they cry to him and their affliction, but he acts on it. He sends his angel to encamp around his people to protect them and to guard them. We see a picture of this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. Where it's the story of Elijah and his servant, and his servant is freaking out because the enemies are coming against them to destroy Elisha. And his servant is wailing, "What's going to happen to us?" And Elisha is calm through it. And he prays, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant." And if you know the story, God opens the eyes of the servant, and the servant sees chariots and horses of fire, the army of the Lord surrounding Elisha. And the servant realizes, "What do I have to be afraid of?" God directs his army for the protection and care of his people. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, encamps around those who fear them and delivers them. Our God is not weak, but he is strong. And he is a commander and a king who defends and is able to defend those who fear him. David experienced this in this low part of his life where he's fleeing from earthly powers, from the king of his own people, hiding from the kings of his enemies. And he experiences the reality that the angel of the Lord encamps around him and protects him from his enemies. And that is also true for us, that God has promised that he will care for and deliver us, his people. David here testifies to his experience of the truth of God's love and care and deliverance. Then in our third section, verses 8 and 10, we start off with David praising the Lord. We then have David testifying to the work that God has done. And then in verses 8 and 10, we have a transition point here in the psalm, where David now explicitly invites the audience, those who are reading or hearing this, to taste that this is true, to experience that this is true, to not just take David's word for it, but that as you seek the Lord, you will also experience the truth to which David testifies. So we start to look at these verses. I want to give an illustration from my own life. Many of you know this about me, that I'm a picky eater. And Pastor Miniger has experienced this often as I've been to his house. And especially vegetables. I will eat vegetables, but I don't really like vegetables. And oftentimes, people will offer me various dishes. And I am, generally speaking, I will try pretty much anything. But I cannot guarantee that I will like it. There are many times that I have been offered to taste, and I have tasted and seen that it really wasn't that good for me. But unlike my picky eating here, David here is offering with a confidence and boldness for us to taste and experience something that will not fail to satisfy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His servants, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. David is inviting the audience to experience what he's experienced, that the Lord is good. And as we draw near to Him, as he elaborates here, as we fear Him, and as we seek Him, He never fails to satisfy. You don't have to worry that if you draw closer to the Lord, it's not going to be good. It is always good for those who seek Him and fear Him. And here He's inviting, encouraging to just try it, taste it. Because if you do, you will see that the Lord is good. He satisfies. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Blessed is the one who fears. The one who seeks will lack no good thing. There's a sense here that the good life is not found in this world. The blessed life is not found in the things of this world, money or social status or whatever it may be, but blessing and goodness is found in the presence and intimacy of the relationship with God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His illustration here in verse 10 is interesting. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no thing. The lions, the king of the jungle, will suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord, they don't lack a good thing. We have to think about Jesus' testimony about, do not worry, for the Lord will provide for you. Does not God, as a good father, give good gifts to His children? And as we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God through Christ, we can have this expectation that God is a good father to His children. And He ensures that they lack no good thing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. David then moves in the fourth section, verses 11 through 14. To elaborate then on how is it that one does this? How does one fear the Lord and taste of Him? He's teaching here. He says, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And then verses 13 and 14, he gives us how it is that we fear God. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If you desire to fear the Lord, the way we do that is by rejecting wrong and doing what is right. This is the basics of how relationships function. If you want to have a relationship with someone, don't do stuff they don't like. It doesn't help the relationship. But rather seek to do that which pleases them. And we know throughout Scripture that God has told us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you desire to serve the Lord as His child, this is how you do it. Keep your tongue from evil. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Reject that which is wrong and displeases the Lord and seek to do that which does please Him and is right. But I want to clarify, this isn't any sense of work salvation or work blessing where we earn blessing from God. As Chris exhorted a couple weeks ago from Galatians, he talked about as children in a home, you don't obey in order to become the child or to remain as the child. You obey because you are the child. And as we are the children of God, we should seek to honor Him and please Him as our Father. This is how we fear the Lord and how we draw closer to Him. And then the final two sections, verses 15 through 22. And I'm going to treat these together. David's praised the Lord in verses 1 through 3. He's testified to the goodness of God in verses 4 through 7. He's invited us to participate in that in verses 8 to 10. And then he's told us how we are to please God in verses 11 through 14. But then in verses 15 through 22, the reason I want to connect these together is because he turns his attention to something a little different. And he really spends all eight verses talking about this. He expands on what is the blessing that the righteous receive, and specifically within the context of affliction. And I think there's a sense where he's answering this question that may arise. How is it that verse 8 is true? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. When verse 19 is also true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's important for us as we look at these verses to remember the context of this entire psalm is one of the low, dark points of David's life. Where his king is pursuing him, he's abandoning his friend, he's on his own, he's on the run. And this psalm is born out of that. And all this praise and testimony and invitation is not done away with because of the fact that the righteous also suffer. In verses 15 to 22 is an answer to that. In expanding upon the blessings the righteous have, even in the midst of their suffering. Verses 15 and 17. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. These are things that David's already testified in his own life in verses 4 and 7, or 4 through 7, where he seeks the Lord and he answers him. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him. And here we see the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. He watches them. His ears are toward their cry. He hears them. And when the righteous cry for help, he delivers them out of all their troubles. This imagery of seeing and hearing reflects the reality that of God's love and concern and care for his people. You don't pay attention to things you don't care about. And here we have God saying, I pay attention to you, my people. I see you. I am watching you. I hear your voice in distress. And when the righteous cry for help, he hears and he responds and delivers them out of all their troubles. And I think verse 18 here summarizes these truths very powerfully. Where he says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. There is no pit or darkness where God can't see his people. There is no pit or darkness where our cries get muffled and drowned out and the Lord doesn't hear them. And even in those times when we feel he's furthest, the Lord is near to us. In those days when we are crushed and destroyed, he saves us even in that. The Lord is close to his people. This is the heart of God. Where he cares greatly about us, even in our weakness and despair. If we remember the testimony about Jesus, he does not break a bruised reed. He doesn't snuff out a smoldering wick. There is a care and a love and a concern, especially for us, when we are at our weakest. The Lord is near and he saves the crushed in spirit. Verse 19 is true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We see this in the life of Christ himself, where there is none who was more righteous, and yet he suffered affliction. Great affliction. But even in the life of Christ, we see the preservation. I want to make this connection in verse 20. Verse 20, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. This is a prophecy, along with several other Old Testament texts, that refers to Christ. Gospel of John confirms this. That Christ, even in his affliction, his bones were not broken. And that's a significant point because in the crucifixion, the common Roman practice was to break the bones of the people being crucified. But they didn't do that with Jesus, for he had already died. And there's a sense here that though the afflictions of the righteous are many, the Lord delivers them. And there's even a sense of protection and preservation within the midst of the suffering. Just as God promised to keep the bones of Christ unbroken, there's a promise to us also that we will not be utterly broken by the afflictions we experience. but that there is a preservation that God has for us. This is a promise that's not for the wicked. Affliction will slay the wicked, verse 21. And back in verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. This is not something that those who don't know Christ have any confidence in. But this is something that we, as those who trust our Savior, do have confidence in. For God listens to His people. And to close us out in verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. He is our King. We are His servants. And He redeems us. He doesn't allow us to be destroyed. He doesn't even, if we're to connect this to sin here, those that belong to God are not condemned. But as we take refuge in Him, He delivers us from that. So I want us to encourage us today with this psalm to taste and see that the Lord is good. To take our refuge in Him. To seek Him out. To pursue Him. Yes, our afflictions are many. But the power and love of Christ, the devotion of God to His servants, is greater than whatever afflictions or burdens we bear. The Lord is near His people. And we can take confidence and rest in that. He is a refuge for us. And let us seek Him as that refuge. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your care and concern for us, that You love us, and that You've promised that You will always care for us. We ask that You would bless us and encourage us through this psalm, that Your Word would bring healing, and that we would find You as a refuge. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.